You are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sin on Blog Talk Radio. From goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule. Let's be respectful. You are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sin on Blog Talk Radio. Goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule, and that's be respectful.
Holler at us next week, man.
No doubt, no doubt, man. And definitely shout out to the family, liberationmindedmedia.net. That is Black Eyes Stand, Do the Knowledge Radio, The Rundown with Renee, and My Skin Is My Sin. Oh, and don't forget to share the show, man. If you check it out today, or if you check it out next week, or if you check it out in 1,000 years, and if you are that motherfucker that digs us up in 1,000 years, you are the most phenomenal individual to ever walk the galaxy for digging up this greatness and still share our shit, man. Shout out to you. Don't forget to check out the websites, mrochelle.com, designsbymonet.com, and myskinismysin.net.
Bismillah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take my time with this one, man, but
I get time.
Y'all can just do me a favor real quick. And
nod your
head. In the name of the one love, I say praise God.
Okay.
This hallelujah.
Woo.
Alhamdulillah. Rasta men say Jah, them Hebrews they say Yahweh. Some folk they say Jehovah, some folk they say Namaste. In the name of the one love, I say praise God. This hallelujah, alhamdulillah. Now some folk gon' say yay, other folk gon' say nay. I respect you, so respect me and just let me pray. I'm working on my 5 times, like I lost my watch, I gotta find time. At times we can lose our minds, caught up in the grind. I know I had to find mine. Now look, I don't know your life, but I do know mine, so I can speak on that. Lessons learned in my life, I put them on the mic like 23 and red and white. My flag fly red and white. Ain't killing, we healing with the truth, bringing dead to life. Cause that's what the truth do. I was lost in the darkness, but now I done seen the light. So don't bring me the hype, bring me the heaven. Not when I die, now when I'm living. Righteousness is not a ritual, it's the spiritual that's beyond a religion. I used to pray a whole lot, but had a whole lot missed. Had a hole in my soul cause I talked to God but I never would listen. I had to find my faith, more than words in a book. Ay, it's the life I live, it's the love I give in the verse in the hook. Because God is love, so it's love I share. Spread love to the whole universe, there verse. That's my prayer.
Ay,
say that's my prayer. Yeah, yeah, say that's my prayer. Spread love to the whole universe, there verse. That's my prayer.
Yeah, I got that music on many levels. Bring you a shovel, we'll get a shadow. All of my pain come from the heavens, and all of my blessings come from the devil. Say I'm keeping them rocking like heavy metal. I come from the bottom, they call it ghetto. I'm off in them sewers like Donatello, but I look at the game like I'm Othello. Yeah, I put that dope in your vein, I put that hope in your brain. I keep it dope when I came, I've been exposing the lane. Say my time finally came, every grinder gon' fall off, every hustler gon' take a loss. They get right back up and shake it off, then they run it back up and be taking off. Yeah, brand new grind this year, got a brand new mind this year. Till I miss my time this year, fuck nigga, can't stop my shine this year. Hey, producer got the coke in the kitchen, come through with that soda, then I whip it. Time to hit the road to distrip it. Know you got that risk when they can feel it. Got it fell off, got it right back. Still made boss, they don't like that. And I got my own style, this is real rap. Everything on guard, they gon' feel that. Too much sauce, all of this drip ain't no wiping it off. Haters to see, they don't like it at all. They come with that smoke, I'm inhaling it all. Won't cough, I'm from them huff rides. Blood of a chief, I grew up violent. The blood on my feet, it ain't just honor. It's the blood from the people that won't sign it. Keep your ears to the streets, you gon' know by me. Every gangster you meet, they gon' co-sign. That's the second they heard kind of sudden rhyme. Never felt so much truth within one line. Ain't no question who been going the hardest. Ain't no question who been fighting charges. Ain't no question who been living lawless. Why you asking questions? You informant. Dead on my session in my corner. Liquor drinking, reeking marijuana. Young ain't want a job, but they don't want him. He can't read or write, but keep it on him. Lost money. Lost money. Got it back, got it back. Lost car, lost car. Got 'em back, got 'em back. Lost honey, lost honey. Got 'em back, got 'em back. Left me, left came me. Right back.
Into My Skin Is My Sin on Blog Talk Radio. From goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule, and that's be respectful. A shout out to you. Shout out to your family. Stay safe. We love you. If you have not heard that today, you just did. And if you're having a good day, hopefully we can make it a little bit greater. And if you're having a bad day, hopefully we can do something positive for you. How y'all doing out there? How's life? You know? Talk to me. It's 347-855-8692. And we should have Fred calling up in about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or so. And hopefully the family will be able to call up about 8:15. That would be pretty dope. Anyway, and I'm just waiting on Rome to call up. How y'all doing out there? Karim Dub in the building. What's going on, Queen? How's life? You know, doing a little different. We figured out a way to do the blog talk and the live stream. So we got a number now that's consistently open, and you could call up and get through without a problem. You press 347-85. Let me put that in the chat room right quick. 855. But how y'all holding up out there? Everybody okay? Is it bothering you? You know, talk to me. Oh, and I had a really good question today earlier. And it was, let's say there is a heaven. Theoretically, whether you believe or not, let's say that there is. But you had to defend your life, and you had to get 51% of the jury. Do you think that at this point, the life that you have lived would actually qualify you to get there, whether it's heaven, you know, some pie in the sky is great, whatever you want to look at it as. There's a better afterlife, but you had to defend your life here on earth. How you think you would do? And yeah, the shit is crazy everywhere, Karim. It is crazy, crazy, crazy. And I'm seeing nursing home after nursing home after nursing home, which I work at one, get like not just one or two people, five, six, seven, ten. You know, that's being overlooked. Like, this shit started at a nursing home, basically. 44 people, I do believe, died. You know, like, and it's just slowly working through nursing homes across the country. I was actually looking up some of the data today, you know, just to see how it is here in Ohio. And there are some things that I see on a day-to-day basis where I see why. You know, like some of these corporations are putting the bottom line over people's lives. And what they're not realizing, like that nursing home in Washington has already been, I think they've already lost a lawsuit for $600,000 or got fined $600,000, I'm sorry, $611,000 by the state for deficiencies leading up to that shit. That's just the beginning. Lawsuit after lawsuit, do shit right now and it'll save you so much more money in the long run. And they don't seem to conceptualize that shit. Because it ain't their mama being affected, you know, when it's their mother or their wife or husband that is directly affected, I guarantee you shit will change. You know, it just is what it is. They got access to all of the best medicine, all you know, like for all intents and purposes, they feel like they are above what we going through. They got some advantages, but man. Yes, yes, a lot of doctors and nurses, like, it's so much anxiety just to go to work. Like, most people don't go to work and have to think, okay, what I do may directly affect whether another person lives or dies. Most people don't have that on a normal day. You compound this shit by now the people that I'm taking care of can actually be a threat to me and my family. That's a whole different component, and not just a patient that we know has, you know, whatever the disease, but any patient. And you should, you know, some of the patients don't care. They like, I'm on the downside, I don't give a shit, and we'll sneak out. That happens too. It's crazy, you know. And I really, you know, it's hard not to talk about this shit, though. I said that the other day. Like, but I really didn't want, you know, I wanted to talk about something different a little bit. But you can't help it, man. It's like all consuming. Like, it's got to probably, it's probably about 10,000 shows at least on the coronavirus so far. Trump has, like, just been a clinic on what not to do and what not to, like, he says some of the dumbest shit. Like, sometimes, you know, like, he does not know how to, you know, he's only got one stupid speed and that's it. Yeah, every time he does a press conference, it is a lie. Every time, and I'm not a Republican fan. I don't even know if Dr. Fauci is Republican or not. But at least he is the one person I have seen that speaks on Trump's behalf that actually seems to have some fucking sense. What's good? Is it Devin or Devon? I can't remember. My fault, bro. But yeah, he seems to be the only one that actually comes with some facts. Some, like, let's hold on, like, your man's just wilding. When he did the facepalm, that shit was hilarious too. But everybody else seems to be there just to kiss Trump's ass. And that's a pattern that he has set, that's your number one job. Not shit for the country, not shit for the cabinet, not shit for anybody else but him. It's ridiculous. I do, you know what, I'm not going to lie. Like, Trump is hilarious though. I will say that.
You know, I can't be the only person that was at the house rolling when he was like, China. I was at the crib. Oh, my goodness. I was at the crib rolling. You know, and I've got, well, I won't say I don't have nothing, you know, speaking upon China, that's a whole nother talking about the Chinese folks and how they treat black folks. That's a whole nother topic of discussion. And let me, I got the run of my mouth and shit, not paying attention. Let me hit a couple of folks up right quick. You know, but it's like, man, like I sit in the parking lot at work now, and it's like I'm literally going into a fight for my life. For just a regular ass day. At least that's how, you know, and you know, it's like your mind playing tricks on you now. Give it another couple of months, and we will all be so subservient to whatever the fuck. I won't say all of us. Let me backtrack on that. But a vast majority of this country will be subservient to whatever the fuck they say do to save their asses. Right, 10 million people have filed for unemployment. 10 million people. Damn. You know, like, and that's a tough one. Like, who really wants to, you know, it's not like people don't want to work, but who really wants to go to work at a time like this? And hold on one second. I do think that we got the brother Fred on the line. Let me just check do a couple of things and make sure, because I want to make sure that we do get a brother an adequate introduction. Because that's my dog. That's a good guy right there. I put it that way. Oh, and man, if you have not checked out Barbershop Conversations, man, please do. Like the premier voice in boxing today, Fred. What's good, bro? How you doing? How's life, man? How you feeling?
Oh, good. Just dealing, you know, stay at home, you know. So you're gonna hear some background music. You know, I got some background singers running around. So, but it's good.
Hey, it must be nice to be rich, bro. I got background singers. They like my dogs upstairs. You know, but I'm glad to hear that, man. What have you been doing since you know, everybody got to stay at the crib?
Yeah, we got to stay at the crib, but I've been doing a remodel. So I got a staff at a property, and so I've been doing that, and I've been relieving some of my tenants, some of the rents and stuff like that. So it's cool. I just got to finish my rounds, you know, and finish talking to the tenants. But that's typically what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Then I come straight home, you know, take my clothes off at the door, take a shower, and be still, you know. So
I feel you on that. And that's dope, by the way, too.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
I have not even heard, my landlord hasn't called me, but that check cashed.
Yeah,
at some point though, I'm gonna have to reach out and say something to them.
Mm-hmm. No, you should, because you can. Maybe they'll forgive you for a certain percentage of it, or maybe they can delay your payment. But if they delay your payment, you're gonna have a lump sum. You know, that's the challenging part.
Right, and what you're gonna end up with people that's paying like $600 a month with like a $4,000 bill. Immediately.
Yeah, exactly. In like 3 to 6 months, that's what they're going to have, because they think they're winning now. And then the courts ain't going to have no pity on them because they knew, you know, the same pragmatic approach they had to taking to giving them time is the same pragmatic approach they'll have at the end. Like, well, we gave you time. You know, you've been back at work for 2 months, you know. And you had your unemployment checks, you got your stimulus, you got your
life
income tax return.
It was ours.
Yeah, right. You're right, because it's definitely hindering. It's definitely, like, taking a huge chunk out of me, though, you know what I mean? But it's the right thing to do. You know, it's definitely the right thing to do.
That's dope, man. Hold on, let me get the plug in on the line right quick, too.
Mm-hmm.
What's good, bro?
I'm back.
Peace,
yeah.
Peace.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Fred on the line, man. How's life?
Chilling, man. Fred, what's good, bro?
Hey, how you feel, King? Everything solid?
Yeah, everything, man.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
so let me ask y'all this then. Do y'all think that they should be having fights? Without a crowd, but just having fights?
Man, you want to go? Oh,
nah.
You want me to go first? Okay, go ahead.
I'll say no.
For the simple fact, everything draws a crowd right now. You know what I mean? Especially like you think about New York. You know how like a handful of people can affect hundreds. You know, public transportation, close quarters, largest population per square mile. You know, it's just very challenging and it's very contagious too. Like, I do believe that they're associating the coronavirus with people dying from the flu and other type of respiratory illnesses and stuff like that. So I do believe that the numbers are a bit skewed, but at the end of the day, I think that it's still a highly contagious virus, you know, and we got to do our part, you know. You know what I mean? It's no sense standing out, you know what I mean? Like that little girl in Shameless with the red coat, man. Just blend in, you know what I mean, and take it on the chin, you know what I'm saying, and just wait out these month, 2 months, you know what I mean. I just hope that everyone has enough resources,
yeah,
to withstand this, you know.
Mm-hmm. And most people still aren't taking it as serious as they should be.
Oh, I see it all the time on Instagram, you know.
And
they have monitors, too.
Until they mama get sick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. It's for real, man. I know it's real because I got a lot of family in the medical field, and they say every day someone's dying. You know, every day someone's dying from this. So it's
and I guarantee you they're underreporting, actually. Because how it is, it's like the doctor that treated them, the main doctor, gets to decide what they died of.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say acute respiratory distress syndrome or pneumonia, you know, as opposed to coronavirus, to keep their numbers down because nobody wants – is people scared to go to the hospital right now? How fucked up is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to go to the hospital. I feel so horrible for women that got to give birth in this shit.
Facts. Uh-uh. I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right.
They're not allowing fathers in the ladies' room or anything. Like it's just the mother.
Even funerals now, like you got to decide whether you're gonna bury a cremated. You know, something like that. Jesus.
All right, they give you like 10 minutes with the family, and that's like the deluxe version. That's horrible, and all these people that had to die looking out a window at other people dressed up. That's horrible, and I've seen that. You know, people die that don't really have, like, somebody to love them when they die.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have the look of regret in their eyes. Always.
No, you're right. No, you're dead ass right. I definitely don't want to be that person. You know, that's why we have family and stuff, but this pandemic, but it all stems from up top too. No matter like if you're a man in your household, no matter what happens in your house, it all stems from the top. You got to take accountability for it. You know, I think that there's blame to be had on the White House and his staffers and doctors and his team. And, you know, how can you not see something like this coming? You know? And, you know, the Asian countries are 3 months ahead of us, so they have a better control of what's going on in their country. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's just a bad look all the way around, man. I just, you know, America elected that man, you know. You know, he's a selfish man, I believe. And it's definitely showing now, you know, his selfishness and his greed, in my opinion.
It's scary, man. I read an article today from some people from inside the Pentagon that said they have ventilators just sitting inside. They haven't sent them off because they don't even know where to send them.
Mm.
Yeah, just no just stupidity damn near from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point, people are going to start having to make decisions despite what the fuck he say.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be problematic after the fact, too, because he's going to punish their ass.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a clip of Dick Gregory today on Roland Martin's show before he passed away. And at this point in time, I believe that Trump was already president, if I'm right. And, you know, Roland Martin was asking him, he was just like, you know, so
hey, you're a little staticky too, bro. I hate to cut you off, but I want to make sure you get your story out, bro. You're a little staticky.
I was saying, man.
Not bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about now?
Yeah, that's better. There you go.
Okay. All right, so Dick Gregory is, Roland Martin's asking Dick Gregory, like, you know, what should we do as, you know, as a community in Black America, you know, under Trump? And Dick Gregory's like, nothing, what you been doing? This ain't your fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he was like, you know, and he referenced, he's like, you know, Rome, you know, Egypt, you know, Greece, you know, all these, you know, Babylon, all these empires, they all fell, you know? And he was like, you know, this is the start of America's fall. And he was like, we don't do nothing but sit back and survive like we've always done and never work itself out.
Makes sense. Mm. Yeah, you're right. You know, to piggyback off what you just said, W.E.B. Du Bois had a similar quote when he says, why are we disappointed in a system that's not protecting us, that wasn't built for us, you know? So I think that we should be prepared as individuals. What I mean as individuals, as our, as a collective, as whether it's your family, whether it's your neighborhood, whether it's your community, and put yourself in position that you can sustain yourself and thrive. You know, we be preaching independence and stuff like that, but it's so hard to have that consistent mindset when you walk out of your house and all the box stores are Kroger. I think they have Kroger on the East Coast and stuff like that. So it's hard to be consistent with that, but that's some of the things that we got to be very intentional about, you know. So, but this is going to be a huge wake-up call for the people who are ready to be awakened, you know. Everyone else is just going to fall by the wayside and be content and satisfied with $1,200 they're getting and just say.
Right.
Because if you're satisfied, people are going to – he just basically bought the election, you know, for real, for real. Like, he just – I mean, if someone gives you $1,200 and then say vote for him, subconsciously you're going to feel like – like, you know, obligated to them, you know, so.
Yeah, but come election time,
there will be a great chunk of this country that has yet to receive that $1,200, and they're going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will.
You know, so it's going to be completely backfire on them, this too, because it's going to be like everything else. They just gave a shitload of money to businesses to ride it out while the rest of us suffer.
Yo,
although
I
do see motherfuckers not taking this shit. Like it's a lot of people going on strike. Like, no, bro, we not taking this. I'm surprised.
Yeah. I just see, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't really think it's anything that Trump can't do that won't get him reelected. Like, I think America's that racist to the point to where they'll reelect this nigga instead of having to elect a Jewish man. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's honestly just how I feel. I feel like even if they gotta cut their own head off, you know what I mean? As long as it's them doing it and they're in control of that situation, they're okay. They can accept that. Before,
no, you're right
on
this one, bro. I don't know on this one. Feeding your family is different, bro. Feeding your family is different. And motherfuckers don't forget that you were so inept at the job while fucking South Korea got the shit handled. South Korea, bro.
Right.
Like the size of fucking Idaho or some shit. They put that shit down. Everybody said, yep, we ain't trying to fuck with that. What do we need to do? Bam, bum, bum. next country. And we supposed to be the fucking best country on the planet, allegedly. Y'all been preaching this shit for years. Act like it. Nah,
you're right.
You done pissed everybody off in the world where they just gonna be like, we good over here. Then what?
Yeah,
we
you're
rude.
Right. I don't think it's going to be very challenging to elect an incumbent because, one, you're not going to be able to campaign. You know, you won't be able to raise money. You're going to have to do it virally. Donald Trump is a mastermind virally. You know, he'll say something, you know, and he has a pedestal every day at 2:30, you know, 5:30 Eastern. So he can basically campaign to the public. And you got to keep in mind, the majority of us are passive in many things that we do in our life. So, when you hear someone say, "Oh, $1,200 is coming," you're just gonna sit and wait for the $1,200, you know. Or he's gonna say the economy is up, the Dow Jones is up today. You understand? We just cut unemployment by $1 million. I mean, by 1 million people. You know. So there's so many different ways that we can go about doing this, but it's just gonna be super hard. You know, like even voting. Like, the voting numbers are going to be so far down this year.
Right.
We have to roll into the fall. You know, it's just going to be, it's, you know, I never thought that anything like this was possible, you know. They said we're protected by two oceans, and then this happened. So,
right.
But that just goes to prove that everyone's touchable, man. You know what I mean?
Man.
So.
That's truer words were never spoken right there.
Mm-hmm.
And this shit, you know, like you can buy a lot of shit, but you can't buy your way out of death.
Yeah, you're right.
No way.
You're right. There's no way possible. You're absolutely right.
You know, and I'm sure a lot of motherfuckers have tried. You know, but let me ask you this. Okay, so what's been the, if there is one dope thing that has come from this, what would you say it was? For you personally.
Me? Or?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. How it normalized everything. You know, you got, like, people who charge $100 a ticket doing stuff for free on Instagram. It added a level of calmness to America, you know, where your wealth only gets you 8 more cans of groceries, you know, or 8 more rolls of toilet paper. Like, there's no difference. Like, you can't go anywhere, you know. Everyone is itching to be social, you know. There's no more proven that you're more successful, have more money. Well, there's still level, but I mean, it's been minimized, you know, because you're going to look like an eyesore. You're going to look like a fool if you're out there showing yourself, driving around up and down, chasing women, and you know what I mean. So I think from that perspective, it's made us human, you know, which is a beautiful thing, you know. I actually like that.
Yeah, fuck. Damn near what? A couple hundred thousand people was rocking out at the same time with D-Nice. That was fucking
dope. Yeah, that
was,
that wasn't that dope? Like, you know, the world was listening to the same song. That
yeah, that's so fucking dope. Yes. Uh-huh. It gave me chills, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know
yeah.
if this one is true or not, but I seen one where, like, somewhere, in, I think it was the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
They was all singing Biggie. In the neighborhood.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. They
that
had
was very dope, too.
Yeah, that's dope.
That
yeah, it feels good
dope.
To have a human experience.
It does.
It feels amazing. You know, it's hard to have a human experience when you like, fuck, I gotta go to work. I got two kids. You know, I'm a black man in America. Like, it's hard to have human experiences, you know? You know, that's why it's so important to cultivate your relationships, you know? If you know, if you're fortunate enough to have a woman, if you're fortunate enough to have kids, you know, you got to really, really cultivate those relationships because those are going to pay dividends in our tough times. You know, America's on trial right now. Who are we? You know, and it's definitely going to show when this is all said and done. Definitely going to show who we are. You know, so.
And we ain't looking so good right now.
No, definitely not looking good, man. Definitely not looking good, man. From the grass
like
cutter to the president.
That is not going to be. When it hits middle America, it is going to decimate that population.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be bad because they just not set up. Like, they don't even have the space. I mean, they have the space, but they don't have hospitals. You got to drive like 20 minutes to get to a hospital in one area, or an hour to get to a hospital in another area. You know, that's what's really going to, they're just going to be finding people at home dead. You know, and that's it has the potential to significantly alter the cultural landscape of this country. If that in fact comes to fruition. If, let's say, Middle America loses 20% of their population, that's a huge effect on our farming, huge effect on their numbers. And from a capitalistic standpoint, that would be a great opportunity for us collectively to do some shit.
Facts.
You know, and my bad, bro. I know I invited you on the show and I'm doing all the talking, man. My bad. Wrong. What's good with Wilder, man? What's up with your boy? How you doing?
Oh, Wilder good, man. I spoke to him. I haven't spoken to him since the Tuesday, since the fight. I talk to his team regularly. You know, like, me and Wilder always pick up the conversation where we left off at, you know. It's just a constant theme between us. You know, I mean, it's always a 2-hour phone call, and that's what I always tell. I don't know if you ever heard it in my interview. It's always telling, like, we're not going to have this 2-hour conversation right now. You know, I always joke with him and end up being 3 hours. So, he's good, man. You know, like, I believe he's going to win the rematch to the rematch, you know? So, you know, I'm a believer in the glove gate. I say that jokingly because hopefully some naysayers come on. But I'm a firm believer in it. You know, once a cheater, always a cheater. But throughout his career, he's cheated so many different ways and actually gotten caught. So nothing is put past the cheater. It's like a black man commits a crime in Los Angeles and a white cop pulls him over. And then the next day in New York, a white cop pulls over a black man because he believes he looks like the black guy that was in LA, you know? So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I think that, he is, a cheater. I think his character should be in question. And, I would love for him to, be in a bed, alongside 10 other people with the coronavirus, you know. Like, I'm done with the respect for Tyson Fury.
God,
man. Like,
damn.
All
jokes aside, like, you deserve all the credit in the world for bringing it to light.
Thank you.
As far as you, like, all the credit in the world, bro. Like, when this all started, like, Fred was the absolute number one, you know what I mean? Who flipped the switch, you know what I mean? And everybody started running with it, but you deserve all the credit in the world for that, man.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And Wilder will be straight, man. Like, he's a dude's a warrior.
he's built for this.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts.
And we also got taken to account. No, and you have every right to believe that too, because of how the perception of how he lost. Now, if you want to keep it just on fact base. Let's just keep it on fact base.
Okay.
The first two rounds, at worst, it's 1-1, right?
Okay.
Agreed.
At worst, it's either 2-0 Wilder, because Wilder had a strong second round. It was very clear that he won. I don't know who you like in the first round. Maybe you like the jab. Maybe you like Fury's movement. You know what I mean? Wilder landed the hardest shot in the first round. So depending on who you want, round three, if you watch the knockdown, he was hit behind, not even behind the head. It was like 3 inches behind the ear. You understand what I'm saying? So if he would have took those 5 minutes and gotten a point taken away from Fury's more anxious because he's down. Fury might think he's down 3-0, no matter what he's doing in the ring. No matter if he's jumping up and down, telling the crowd he won, in his mind, he knows round one was close. And he knows Deontay won round two. Now, if you got a point taken away in round three, and I don't know who wins the round, but it's arbitrary who wins that round, you know. It's a completely different fight in terms of mindset, you know. And so I think we have to be, like, honest as it relates to, like, the reality of what happened. It's similar to, say, like, Errol Spence won the fight against Sean Porter because of the knockdown. No, he won the fight without the knockdown because it was 116-111, so he didn't need the knockdown. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, people follow the waves, you know what I mean, and say, oh, so I personally don't know. And he didn't legally knock Wilder down, like, legitimately, like a clean shot knockdown. The second knockdown, he literally, Fury tripped him, you know, whether it was intentional or not. But, you know, theatrics plays a part, and he fell, so, and the refs can't see everything, you know. But I do believe the hit behind the head, Kenny Baylor should have caught, you know. And I think it's a different fight. I completely think it's a different fight because – no matter how it was, Fury still has to be cognizant of Wilder, you know, in terms of his power, you know. The last punch landed in the fight was a left hook by Wilder that actually stunned Fury, you know. So I don't know, but I did have Wilder winning rounds 4, 5, and 6, you know. But I don't know what happens after round three, or if the round three is like, no, he gets 5 minutes, 1 point, 1 point, 1 point, you know? So maybe that's a 10-8 round for Wilder. Who knows?
You know, you're the goat at this shit, man. So I'm going to take your word for it, bro.
Nah, I'm just being pragmatic. I want to eliminate the emotion of it and just talk facts, you know? So emotionally, shit, I thought Wilder was cheated, but that detracts, like, people from listening. Oh, Wilder cheated. Fury cheated. The moment you say Fury cheated, it makes everyone the Bloods versus the Crips, you know. But if you be pragmatic about it, everyone will, like, give at least one ear and listen, you know. So so I don't know, you know. Wilder ended the fight on his feet, and that's the worst you can – that is the worst you can see of any fighter. Think about it.
Yeah.
Matter what division, no matter what fight, that's the worst fighter you can see of any fight. Deontay Wilder was delayed. You can tell he got knocked down because his hands was down. Like, what are you, like, you know? So he was delayed or something like that, you know? So, and that's what I believe.
I think the one thing that I'm looking forward to is to see how he grows from this experience and responds in this next fight. I think Deontay gets better with every fight. I think him fighting Luis Ortiz for the second time and him, like, I think I watched that fight 3 times. And literally, Ortiz is arguably a top 3 heavyweight.
Yeah.
Arguably a top 3 heavyweight. And he rematched this dude. And honestly, like, my first watch, I had Ortiz up every round. And it didn't matter because this dude has, like, a big hand. Like he's just got the ultimate equalizer, man. And I feel like Deontay is a master of his craft, of his style. He has his own style.
I like that answer. You're right.
He has his own style in which that he's mastered. And he had a late start, but nobody can say they knocked out Luis Ortiz twice. Nobody. You know, nobody can say, even with Tyson Fury, I feel like he's taking something from each fight. And this trilogy, I feel like he will be a complete fighter. Like, I feel like this was something that he needed to make him a complete fighter.
No, it's definitely going to make Wilder, which I believe he already is. He just he's just gonna make the naysayers be like, "Damn, this nigga is tough," you know.
Right.
But man, I've been around him a great deal, you know what I mean? And I treat him like a normal human being, you know. I use the word nigga, I say what's up, you know what I mean? And beyond all that, there's a level of respect I have for him because I know who he is. And what I mean by that is, we all have friends in our life who are just friends, right? And then we all have friends in our life who we know we can't bullshit around. You know what I mean? And Wilder is one of them dudes. So I would have no concerns about him being prepared. You know what I mean? In terms of his mindset, in terms of his personal beliefs, I don't believe he'll be a problem, to be honest with you.
Right. Do you still want to see AJ versus Wilder?
I do. Yeah, I definitely want to see it. And I think we actually blew it. You know, I think we actually made a huge blunder. And I'm gonna blame AJ and Eddie Hearn, and then obviously blame PBC for not forcibly making that fight happen. Because think about it. If that fight happens, man, boxing is in a different trajectory. Like,
absolutely.
You can't compare or even have anything comparable to a man that has his whole entire country behind his back and Deontay Wilder, who has his entire country in terms of love, hate. You know, it just makes too much sense. And they look the part. They all 6'7". How tall are they? 6'7", 6'8". You know, I mean, they look like heavyweights. You know what I mean? They could sell the fight. Anthony Joshua got an accent. Like, it's so much appeal to that fight that, you know what I mean? Like, it is from a marketability. Like, it's so much appeal that I think we missed it. I think we missed it. And that's going to be one of the biggest regrets of this era. No, we're going to get the fight, but you know when we're going to get it? When we don't care. You know what I mean? It's
I
not going
like
to be what
you
it
know
was.
You know what I'm saying? Wash is AJ, though. I feel like he knocks AJ out within, like, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I think...
Like, he's tailor-made. He's tailor-made to get knocked out by Deontay.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Like he's tailor-made. It's almost like Keith Thurman versus, like, Earl Spence. Like, there's no way, you know what I mean? Like, Earl's going to destroy Keith Thurman.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny about that is Anthony Joshua is the kind of opponent. I always laugh with D about this. I says, all you got to do is flinch at him. Like, just go to round one and just flinch at him. Like, he's going to jump out of his skin, you know?
Right.
You know, he's like he's that type of guy. You can tell how he fought Ruiz the second time. You know, his punch resistance was low, never engaged. You know, he'll literally have – he would have him running across the ring, you know.
Right.
And it would be frustrating because he's a big heavyweight. And you definitely don't want big heavyweights running around. But Wilder would have to use his intellect and stop him. But that would be a funny fight. I would like the press tour for that fight. You know, that would be fun.
It would be great promo.
Yeah.
It would be great promo.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely right. That would be fun. So.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know, man. Like I was never a big AJ fan, though. I think he was overhyped. I think he's not a bum. You know what I mean? Like, but he's good. But I just feel like they like the to where they try to hold him up as like he's
sure,
not that.
Sure. He's not.
That he's not that.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, he is. But you know, he's marketable. You know, for various reasons.
He's like, let's take this the wrong way. He's the equivalent of Drake to me in boxing. Like, Drake's not the most lyrical rapper.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Drake,
you know
what I mean? But he's just super marketable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just super marketable. Like, he's not really threatening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He talks well, you know, like, all that type of thing. That's Anthony Joshua.
I got you.
I mean, Drake is a GOAT, man. That's disrespectful to Drake, man. Stop
get the
it.
Hell out of here, man. Like, stop.
Drake is a GOAT, bro. They're going to get us.
Jay Electronica just dropped, so you can't compare lyrics bar for bar.
Oh, stop it, bro. Stop it, man.
Nah,
I mean,
bar
you know, Jay-Z just dropped, and Jay Electronica was a feature.
Well, I mean, obviously, Jay. I mean, I thought Jay was better, but I thought in terms of like line for line, bar for bar, but the substance in it was just like
incredible.
I mean, like incredible. Like, how do you start an album with "Oh, you scared to death, Negroes"? You know, like,
right.
How do you just think Minister Farrakhan, Jay Z, and Jay Electronic are on one song?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That was
like,
dope. And I'm not saying the dude is trash.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I've just been waiting 10 years for it, so I'm kind of biased, you know.
This dude's rapping in Arabic, though, and it's fire. Mm-hmm. Like,
how do you know it's fire, bro? You don't know what he's saying.
Bro, you listen to Big Herc, man. Like, chill out. Like,
he could be just be saying Tweedledee Tweedledum.
He's not. It's Jay Electronica. Like, what do you mean?
Oh my God!
Listen,
yeah.
Jay Electronica is so
that Royce
the
5'9" is way better than that shit, bro.
He smashed Erykah Badu, bro. Like, automatically
that
better.
Helps.
Than,
and he broke the curse. You know, he's the first five to come out with an album. You know.
Jay Electronica is great.
Yeah, he's great, man. He is. And I can understand why people can say, "Oh, what's so special about Jay Electronica?" Because he comes and he goes. You know, he's kind of teased us a little bit over the years. And, you know what I mean? He hasn't had no cameos where you heard him talk about cars and money. So he just comes out and challenges your intellect. You know, you're like, "Fuck, I don't want to listen to this shit." You know what I mean? Fuck this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like Jay-Z, no matter how intelligent he is, he still told 50 Cent, 50 grand, I get this on the first take. You know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? That engages a certain audience, you know?
Right.
You know, so Jay-Z is just a master at that, you know. You know, I think he's overall, I think his intent is good, you know, whether he makes micro decisions that are not healthy. I mean, that's arbitrary. But I think he's good long term, you know. So we'll have to see in terms of the NFL how that plays out. So.
Yeah, I thought that, like, when they had a few songs I thought were bangers, and it was Feast or Famine with me.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I didn't like, I really didn't
mm-hmm.
like. The ones
mm-hmm.
that I liked, I was like, okay, this is fucking fire.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
I love the material. I love the material.
Yeah, the material is great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the material itself. It was refreshing. It's like, probably, I'm not gonna hold you, like,
mm-hmm.
A Written Testimony is up there with me with, like, the Griselda album.
No, that Griselda was better.
Royce's album was fire.
Yeah,
that
was a great album.
And conceptually,
probably
a really, really well put together album, too.
It was. It really was.
Who's that?
Royce.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's tough, though. He's never going to get the credit, though. He's tough.
Yeah, yeah. And he put together a really nice vibe. I was like, okay,
uh-huh.
yeah. He was in his bag on that joint.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would say that's probably one of the best ones I've heard in a few years.
You can't forget about Victory Lap, though. Like, that's a contemporary masterpiece.
I haven't heard anything better than Victory Lap yet.
Victory Lap is my album, my best album ever. And I'm kind of skewed because, you know, I live in the epic center of Slauson and Crenshaw. But in terms of what I want out of an album, I want to be inspired. I want to be inspired by how they think. I want to be inspired by what they've accomplished. I want to be inspired by their past. And it's so contemporary that I can hand it to anybody, you know, whether you're a Harvard grad or a beat or a nigga selling drugs, you know, it's a classic, man. It surpassed Blueprint 1 for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know what I mean? And obviously it's going to be a little bit more like more louder, because of his death and how
right.
he died. And like, he's perceived as being like a martyr or something like that. You know, I don't know. But don't you know, the first time I heard that album, I was at the Danny Garcia versus Brandon Rios fight 2 years ago. And I was in a cheap ass hotel. I was in the Hooters, right across the street from MGM. And I says, holy shit. He says, I'm prolific, so gifted. I said, what fucking rapper uses the word prolific?
Right.
What gangbanger uses the word prolific? So I just cut the, I just cut it off, and I went and go, and I went and saw Wakanda. You know what I mean? I said, I got to sit down. I really got to sit down and listen out, because he started off like, I'm prolific, so gifted. I'm the type that's going to go get it. No kidding. You know what I mean? And then he said prolific, and then he went right back to, you know, speaking the language that we talk every day. I'm like, no, this nigga special, man. Like,
right.
You know, and that's my prayer. I say with my son every day, I'm prolific, so gifted. I'm the type that's going to go get it. No kidding. Breaking, you know what I mean? Like, that's our prayer. Like, every day.
That's dope. So, hey, we do got a call.
I've been,
my bad. His number looked familiar. Hold on. Hold on one second, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know some of the family is going to call up too. 6457. Mm-hmm. We'll get to them. What's good, fam?
I got to get my kids at 5 o'clock.
Oh, well, go
no,
ahead.
No, don't
bro.
Worry. It went by fast, right? Damn, it went by fast.
Yeah, it,
you know?
It did. I wasn't even paying attention.
Uh-huh.
So I just looked up
uh-huh.
and I was like, damn, it's like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we
got
to do a handoff. We got to do a dribble handoff. Uh-huh.
Definitely appreciate you coming on the platform,
uh-huh.
bro. It's always
uh-huh.
an honor. And
you, y'all got to come on mine, like, for real.
Shit, whenever, bro.
Yo, Fred, no, I want to say, like, probably like 3 weeks in, like, when you got everything popping on your joint,
uh-huh.
I called a few
uh-huh.
times. I couldn't get through, but I wasn't going to DM you.
No, always DM me. I would have slid you right in, nigga. Nah, we good.
All right.
Please.
Yo, like,
man, it's just a fun show. The live is just fun, man. We just fucking
it's
have
hilarious.
A good time. Talk shit and swallow spit, you know what I mean? If you got a fat ass,
Fact.
Tell us you got a fat ass, nigga. If you can play bones, play bones. If you a coon, we going to call you a coon. We just going to have fun, man. You know what I mean? And everyone comes open-minded, which is pretty fun. You know what I mean? No one really takes it too personal. Like, we can talk shit about niggas in the chat. You know, we already know what they look like, but we call them. You know, they got a landing strip to us. You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's just a great time, man. It's just really a great time, man. And it's a credit to all of us. You know, it platforms like ours don't get built by just one man. It's like a collective. It's like your platform, my platform, and other people's platform, and people just have a level of comfort that's built. You know, they obviously pick their favorites and who they're going to ride with, but at the end of the day, it's like a community, you know, and it takes a collective, you know. I'm a big proponent of group economics, you know. That's why I had at least two kids, you know. I didn't want my son not having no one that he can rely on, and hopefully we can filter further that relationship between he and his sister, so that's kind of...
Man. Dope, man.
I love y'all, man. I literally got to go get the kids.
Right. I'm about to say, I don't want to make you late for getting the kids, man. Salute
to
you.
No, I love
know.
Y'all, man. I appreciate
it,
y'all
we'll be
having
here,
me.
Bro. Love you, too,
okay,
bro.
I appreciate
stay
you, bro. Love
all right,
too,
love
bro.
King. Yep, peace.
Peace.
All right, peace. And 6457, you are live. You're not saying anything, though.
What do you mean? I have to let y'all finish y'all long-winded ending of the call. This is Naj in Atlanta. What up, y'all?
What's good, man? What up, though?
You
doing,
you know,
bro?
I'm calling in as the old head hating as soon as I heard this is a classic, best album I've ever heard. So old head in me had to call in and check IDs. But salute to you gentlemen, as always.
Wait a minute. Who said the best they ever heard? Who said that? I didn't
know something
that.
Like that.
Fred said Victory Lab is the best album he's ever heard.
Okay, I must have slept through that one, bro. I'm not talking shit. Like, I must have zoned out.
I'm not mad at that, though.
I didn't hear that.
Listen,
no.
Come on, big dog. You say you're not mad at it? Come on.
What I would add to that. So, hold on. So, listen, for me, like, if you tell me right now, like, I had to be stuck on an island and I had 5 albums to pick, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm 36. So, it's like, all right, let's just say, your top 5 rap albums all time. You only can grab 5 rap albums. Like, for me, it's Machiavelli,
okay.
Purple Tape.
Okay.
The Chronic.
Definitely.
Probably Me Against the World. And, yo, I could literally see Victory Lap being in. So, like, I'm like the
I mean, first
way
off, you got no Illmatic, bro.
Yeah,
yo,
man, no Illmatic.
Listen.
Diaries, like,
I'm a Nas.
So
I'm
much,
a,
it's hard to I, do 5, bro.
I'm a Nas. I'm a super Nas fan, yo. But Illmatic didn't age well. Illmatic was more
me?
Influential opposed than to the way that it aged now.
seriously, like, It Was Written is better than Illmatic.
I mean, if we're going to talk about albums that age the best, then we got to say the actually, Doggy Style would be in my top five. Like, that is probably as close
it's,
to a perfect
album. It's a good
album
with replay value. Yeah, because replay value is the most important thing when you talk about Limited and Five. I don't know about the Illmatic take. That's an interesting take. I never heard anybody say it didn't age well. Last time I rocked with it, I did listen to it, but when you go to your streaming services and when you go to the data about what you listen to, you start to tell the truth on yourself. Like, wait a minute, I claim to love this album, but how much do I actually play it now? Because I still play the Purple
right.
Paper every once in a while. I still play what's the Supreme Clientele, which is my favorite Ghost joint.
Oh,
I still
my
play
God.
That.
Yeah.
I still play ATL Aliens, favorite Outkast joint. Like, so it's man, that's a tough one, bro. He might have hit me with that one. I gotta bump Illmatic.
Gotta
this
sit
week
down
and see if I'm.
And you know what?
The
while we own that, who was that? I can't remember. It might have been Doggy Diamonds. I think it was, but he said, we really overrate Nas based off of Illmatic.
It's true.
Like, Nas got four classics, and Nas reinvented himself on several different occasions, in which he's still, you know, show improved. So, like, I get that, but, like, Illmatic was, like, Reasonable Doubt was a super produced album. Like, Jay's best albums are all super produced. Like, Illmatic was super produced. And it was fire. But, like, I listened to Illmatic. Like, I skipped, like, four songs, bro. Like, I listened to New York State of Mind, Life's a Bitch, Represent,
One
Love.
It can't be remastered in the same way other stuff can be remastered, too. That's the other part that kind of hurts it. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
so much was that SP-1200 dirty stuff. Like, you can remaster it to a degree, but you can't really get it. Like, we all just
Like,
named albums. We ain't even named Ready to Die. Because I probably would have Ready to Die. Now.
I feel the same way about Ready to Die, too, though. Like, I feel like I love Big. Like, I love Nas. Like, I love Illmatic. Like, I love those albums. But, like, listening to them now, it's like, like, I skip songs from Ready to Die now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to
I'm telling
to
you, man. Snoop got the most replay value, maybe, of any hip hop CD ever.
No.
Doggy Style is a monster. It slept on to a degree. Now, remember, it was the most anticipated hip hop album ever, man. Like, during the time
and
when
it
they were running
snippets
on MTV and everybody was fighting over the little demo tapes everywhere, the little, you know, the two song little maxi cassette that they were selling. Sell it, not giving away for free. Sell it. People was buying promo items. That's how hype people was for it because of the Chronic and then the Deep Cover soundtrack, you know, 187. Like, that Snoop was a monster, man. Like, we 50, like, you could, the only comparison is 50, but 50 had a promotional machine behind him that didn't exist when Snoop dropped Doggy Style. Like, that was strictly all hip-hop heads wanted it. Everybody.
No,
I don't care if he was the most East Coast dude ever.
I beg to differ on the machine, though. Like, Snoop had the machine. Like, the Chronic was the number one label at the time. So they had the machine. And they was on Interscope.
Yeah, but the machine
wasn't
the machine at the time. Hold on, hold on.
It was
for the time,
though.
We had Rap City, but we weren't, like, rap wasn't dominating, like, the landscape of life. It wasn't in every movie soundtrack. It wasn't everywhere to the degree it was by the time you're talking about 50. Like, that machine was on steroids by then, which is why we've seen them kind of prop up so many kind of average things we heard over the years. I'm with you on what you're saying, but I'm just saying that machine, phew, that was something else then, man. What do y'all think of these beat battles?
Of who?
I think they're fire,
all these beat battles.
Actually.
I didn't hear Rome was talking. I still didn't hear what he said.
Oh, the
beat battles amongst the producers.
Right. Oh, I haven't got a chance to check any of them out yet. But I think that's a fucking dope ass idea.
What's up?
Hey, you picking up for Miss Yolanda?
Yeah.
All right. Got her on the phone.
That's a really, really, really dope ass idea.
Right. I think rappers should start doing it too, though.
Rappers don't want to do that, man. Because, like a producer, like, and then the producers they got are legends already. I don't like it would be dope if like Swizz Beatz and Timbaland just picked random niggas too every once in a while. Like just go through YouTube, like, okay, this dude is kind of fire. We gonna get this dude a shot against that dude, and see if they can move up in the rankings to go against a Manny Fresh or a Scott Storch. That would be pretty dope.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fair though when Scott Storch just pulls out Beyonce beat, bro. Like that's not gonna be fair. Or
I mean, Beats is Beats though, bro.
Or Jay-Z beat. Like, yeah, what I'm saying is, but he's got legendary beats. So, like, what, like, that, whoever's going against that don't got no chance against that.
I mean, but he's already used all his legendary, super legendary hits against Manny Fresh. So, like, he can't play the same beats over and over and over.
Why not?
How many times can you do that shit? No, bro, you got, you know, you a legend,
went,
bro. You supposed to have a fucking catalog.
Platinum, nigga. Like, what you mean?
Nah, bro, you can't. Nobody wants to listen to your same beats every week.
That's exactly what niggas do when they go to concerts. Like, what do you mean?
All right, you paid to go to a concert. You know, just for that one day, not to hear the same shit over and over and over every week in a contest. That's different. Like that's like saying that somebody in American Idol, when that shit was on, could sing the same song every show for the whole season. That shit would be weird.
But if you got a catalog of 50 songs, and I use my 50 songs in however order I may use them, like, that's what I'm saying.
Scott Storch got thousands of beats we've never heard before. So I don't think it would be a problem for him to go into the vault and be like, oh, okay, young fella, I got something for you, some shit you ain't never heard. I'm still Scott Storch, bitch. You know, like that type of thing. But nobody wants to hear the same beat over and over and over. Like, you got years over people, so you should have, like, a ridiculous catalog of beats that you can unleash. If you Scott Storch.
Certain songs you just can't deny, bro. Like, when they come on. You know,
that
Scott
is true.
Storch has a couple of them joints.
Right, but it, like if you listen to the same song 30 times in a row, by the time you get to it the 30th time, it's like, okay, I love this song, but, bro, I'm tired of hearing this shit.
It depends on the song.
What song would you listen to 30 times in a row?
Voyage to Atlantis.
Who?
See? Voyage to Atlantis.
Who's that?
Ozzy Brothers, nigga.
Okay. I think, like, I heard it, but I'm like, damn, I couldn't put two and two together. And 6457, if you want to get back on air, let me know. I ain't sure if you just hanging out. Oh, okay, all right. Bad.
Yeah, I got dropped. Right, my bad, man.
Oh, I thought you know, had shit to do. I'm like, okay. it happens.
No. What I was going to say about the beat battle was, like, the one yesterday, I don't know what was going on with Manny's audio, but his audio kind of messed up everything because it wasn't loud. Like, the beat didn't knock like it was supposed to. And at that point, he was just taking the L, and Buddy was just melodying him to death. But, like, if you hear Manny's stuff loud as it's supposed to be, club level, I think that would have been a lot more interesting, man. Like, Manny spent too much time on the skits and not enough time on the setup for the night.
Yeah, I can't call it because I ain't even see it. And I swear, I tried to go. I went on Swizz Beatz IG today to see if it was still on there, and I ain't see it.
Okay. And people have been posting little snippets of it everywhere, so you can probably still get it Twitter or YouTube or whatever. But no, I'm with y'all, though. I think it's a little cool little thing people are doing while everybody is kind of quarantined. Just some little, you know what I mean, little light work to look at.
You know what? And it's interesting. Like Fred made a good point about that it is interesting to see how socially we kind of been, people have been thinking outside the box, and it's given us a little break away from the stress of all the other shit going on.
Right. And Fred was laying, man, Fred was laying some jewels. So,
yeah.
Shout out to the Duke. Shout out to the Duke. That was a good call. The only thing I disagree with was the Nipsey take. And the Nipsey take is kind of similar to the Kobe take. Like when people die unexpectedly, especially in tragic ways, we tend to kind of, you know, push up the value of whatever art they created or whatever legacy they left behind. And I think that's kind of what's going on. Now, I'm not of the same era, so I can't really critique Nipsey like that. But from what I've heard, like, dude is nice. Like, no disrespect. I definitely knocked some of his songs. But I don't know if I'm putting him up there like he dropped, you know what I mean, one of those things, like we was talking about a minute ago, like one of those five.
I wouldn't put that in my top five. But with Fred, you got to, like, he's from there.
Okay. That makes it more, okay.
Victory lap is going to age greatly. It's going to age greatly. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those albums. Like, for instance, like, I've been listening to Me Against the World all this week. Like, Me Against the World, the single literally applies to right now in 2020. And Tupac's been dead since '96, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
like,
he got like 7,000 albums. Something applies to everything.
Regardless. That album was number one when he was alive and he was in jail. But what I'm saying is Victory Lap is going to be one of those albums in 10 years, 15 years from now, you're going to be able to play. And the jewels that's dropped from that album, you're still going to be able to apply to your everyday right then and there. And that would justify the classic for me.
But how much of that is generational, though? Like, if you grew up in this generation and you had certain moments based on that music playing in the background, you attach a lot of stuff to that music.
I lost my virginity to Machiavelli.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So like, that's a connection, bro.
Right.
Like, that's some weird shit, too, by the way, bro.
Hey, what song? She sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Like, if she want to get down to Machiavelli, she might have been a lot of fun.
I was trying to get it in with every
R&B classic I could drop back in the day.
Okay, but Machiavelli is just weird, bro. It is weird.
That's a wild girl, man. But hey, she's probably a lot of fun. You probably would like to meet her. But speaking of what we was just getting at, though, but just think about how much, you know, the album you played at your first, you know, the little function you went to, whether it's a party at school or a party outside of school, the album that was banging at the time, you gonna remember those good times along with that music. You got your license, you know what I mean, your first blunt, first time drink, like all that stuff, man. And to his point about Tupac, Me Against the World, when you do songs that are about like life as a human and things that people just couldn't go through whenever, or you do songs about love, like those types of things are gonna make albums last longer. Because those things don't have a time stamp on them. There's no trend or clout type thing with them. That's why those subject matters last longer. There's no reason why Scarface should be as big of a star as he is, except that material, man.
Right. It's timeless.
Like, bro, you see, exactly. And Face don't never have to be U.S. Weekly famous. He can always be Black famous, and that's more than enough.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to be playing Victory Lap in 20 years, I'm going to be honest. But I will be playing Tupac.
Bro, you just stopped playing The Message. Like,
I didn't stop playing The Message. I always play The Message. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
are you disrespecting The Message?
No. Not disrespecting The Message. Yo, you be caping for the Fat Boys, bro. Like, stop, yo.
Man, how many times? Like, they are legends, man. Get
over it. No, they're not.
It.
They are not legends.
Hey, you know what else we skipped? We skipped all the PE stuff. Like, you gotta have one of the PE joints, don't you? Take some Nation of Millions and hold us back.
Take a Nation.
Like one of them, right? That Bomb Squad.
I don't know, man. They
bordered
into real goofy with this latest shit that they talking about. They broke up. That was like an April Fool's joke.
Yo. And, like, now I think about it. Yo, that nigga, yo, Flavor Flav tried to holler at my mom's on a cruise before, man.
Yeah,
like,
man, that dude.
Yeah. Yo, real rap. That's a true story, yo.
It's a wild boy, man.
I mean, well, was Flavor Flav.
Just like a, just a small story, like, really. Like, was he disrespectful with it, or was it just like, you know, just something that happened?
Bro.
You never know with Flav, bro.
I mean, well, I don't think he was going to be disrespectful, like, in public. I think the shit he did on the show was, like, for the show.
Right. You hope so.
Like, you never really heard, like, Flav really just being disrespectful or nothing like that over all these years.
Yeah. But, man, y'all boys is hitting on some topics today.
I mean, shit, we be trying, bro.
We trying, bro.
I do. That shit was so corny, though, man. And I'm not, right now, I'm not really fucking with Public Enemy, bro. I'm going to be honest. I didn't like the whole we kicking Flav out in the first place. Now to be like, oh, well, it was an April Fool's joke. And y'all did that shit a month ago.
Yeah, but we got to be realistic about, like, bands and groups. Man, they break up, man. It happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just something that happens. You're going to disagree. Most of the time, people get back together for a while and then disagree and fall out again. But this is what happens.
That is true, but don't insult my intelligence with no dumbass story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be honest. You know, this my man's. We got the beefing. Shit happens over the years. Got a little public. Our bad. And keep it moving. I respect that.
Right.
You know,
does it ever
nah,
really go
it just looked like shit that you tried to do failed. What'd you say?
Does it ever really go that smooth or that normal when it's involving Flavor Flav?
I mean, but in this particular instance, it didn't seem that Flav really did anything wrong.
Well, he tried to get an injunction to stop them from performing with the name. So it's like,
if we're being honest about
this, like, that's Chuck's call. He created the logo. He created the group. Flav joined later. Like, I could understand Chuck being like, what you mean you're going to stop us from performing with the name? Like, okay, I'm going to kick you out so we can do this performance. Like, I could see that working out that way. Like, you're not gonna
yeah,
kill
but
me
I can see Flav not
on
his reputation associated with a nigga he ain't supporting.
Like, can you really consider a nigga's opinion like that? Like, if you, like, you smoke crack?
Yes, like, nigga, you can get... Hey, crackheads will drop some gems on you too, bro. Like, don't act
what
like crackheads.
What gem has a crackhead bestowed on you?
Man, crackheads will tell you all type of shit, man. Don't do so-and-so in a certain way. You know, this is they'll tell you about their struggle with crack. Like, if you listen to a crackhead... Like, the worst person got some good shit in them, and every once in a while shit comes out. So even with crackheads, they be having some gems, man, and they be having hella deals. Like, how can you go wrong with that?
Tell before they have it.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to say that you should smoke crack. I'm saying to be dismissive of them having gems is just not true. Some of the wisest people are some of the people that have struggled the most. I mean, what is wisdom? It's just a collection of our experiences, correct? Maybe you've done fucked up shit for a long time. You've experienced probably way more than the average person.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe some drunk motherfuckers that get drunk as fuck and will quote all type of shit to your ass.
Facts.
You know,
yeah, man. So I mean, dude, groups break up, man. We may see an Outkast full break up one day. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what happens. Thought we see Jay and Dame on the other side of the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what happens in the music business, man. You friends with somebody from your 18 or to your early 20s, and then y'all become fully a functioning adult.
You mean Jazzo? You talking about Jazzo?
Well, I meant Dame too. You know what I mean? Because I don't think most people saw the Dame Jay thing coming.
Yeah, nobody really cared about Jazzo, bro.
Dame and Jay not good, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying.
Saw that split coming.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
that.
Okay. Okay. My bad. My bad. I misunderstood. My fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
bro, like
you
start
you
looking
at
like R&B groups from back in the day, man, the breakups and replacements. Wow, that junk was happening all the time. New album cover, people picking people from the '70s picking up. Man, who is that? That's the new such
I mean,
album.
I get it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying the way that they went about it, and then to like, it ain't even the like. Yeah, I was tight about the first shit, but now it's like you really playing people like we stupid. Like I believe that goofy shit, you know. And that now, yeah, it was just an April Fool's joke. Come on, bro. Like we adults here. Your fan base is too old for you to be coming up with that corny ass lie.
Yeah.
If you're going to come up with a lie, you got to be way more intricate than that for the people that still listening to Public Enemy. Because nobody of this generation is listening to Public Enemy, let's be honest.
No. Unfortunately,
like,
no.
You want to talk about CDs that did not age well? Public Enemy's music did not age well, bro.
It did.
Oh, I disagree, bro. Put on It Takes a Nation, bro. I disagree. I think that thing held up.
No.
Cause it's just you could never do that today because ain't no way in hell you could pay for all of that sampling. But I think it held up.
No, like Death Certificate held up way better than anything Public Enemy got. Actually, Ice Cube got the nigga you love,
yeah.
I mean, America's Most.
Mm-hmm.
Held up way better than anything Public Enemy got. Like, I ain't being disrespectful to say Legacy, but as far as the music holding up over the years, like, it's probably three Public Enemy songs I would still play.
Nah,
if we being honest.
The joke, Fight the Power.
Yep.
And,
yeah,
I may
man.
Take it all the
Rebel,
way back,
Rebel,
though, and play
without,
my Uzi
Rebel
Way.
Rebel without a pop. Man, Rebel
yeah.
without a pause. Welcome to the Terror Dome. Like, we playing, bro. They got joints.
That's about
still
okay. I
now,
was wrong.
Some of
that's
Cube.
Five.
Now, hold on, because I had this problem with Cube because I was trying to put my young nephews on. Like, look, Cube ain't this actor y'all think he was. Cube used to be one of them dudes. So we playing. I'm playing Death Certificate for him, America's Most, and man, some of it just don't hit the same, bro. Like, especially beat wise, it just does not hit the same. And I was kind of shocked, like, damn, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking I'm gonna convert all these dudes to an old cube, like, gonna hit them with that cube, man. Them boys,
I mean, maybe they
Call
just
Duty,
maybe
like,
they just unsophisticated listeners, and they can't get into it. You can't blame
See,
Cube for not convincing three teenagers.
Hey, that stuff old heads like to say. You know what I'm saying? After a while, you kind of got. Hey man, if it don't pass the test of the young boys, you gotta respect it a little bit. Like, damn, that one didn't hit. Cause you know certain joints you put them onto, and they put it in their playlist and put their friends
yeah.
onto it.
Yeah.
But when it don't happen,
you just look like the old head that's out of touch.
Right.
You just go to turn the radio off and shit, drive in silence.
Man,
he's like, fuck y'all, little young motherfuckers, you little bastards. I don't like
right.
that anyway.
Be low key heated. Be low key heated. Man, right. y'all just don't know what's fire.
Like, you know who said that shit? You know what generation it was? The generation of the last generation of R&B niggas before.
Right.
Like, rap got like super hardcore. Like. Niggas still doo-wopping and shit. Like, check this out, young blood.
Dude, my dad used to come in while I'm watching Rap City, hitting me, cause he, you know what I mean? He's old school funk dude. He was from that era,
mm-hmm.
So Parliament and all them people, you know what I mean? Bootsy, all that stuff. So he's in there calling out the samples. Oh man, y'all ain't doing nothing. That ain't nothing but Parliament. That's a sample from da da da. And he want to go find the record and show you where the sample is that they got.
Oh,
like that kind of stuff.
Wow, they took you to the hole, and I'm not mad at that though.
Yo, but like,
you know,
it's nothing.
Sometimes you gotta school your kids on shit.
Yeah, it's nothing better than going back and like going back and finding samples of stuff that you heard, like to go back to find the original shit that you heard that was sampled. Like, and a lot of Parliament shit is dope. Like, you can't front on that. Like, nobody can front on that.
Yeah, but I'm not going through all that trouble. Fuck it. If you say it is, nigga, it is. I don't really care. It's not that deep. How much time and effort you got to do, man, to be listening to a song and decide, oh, I need to find that sample and go through a whole bunch of records to find one song and one piece of that song.
Yeah, we Googling it now. If we can't get it on the first couple of searches, you like, yeah, the hell with it.
Yeah, like, that's for serial killers, bro. I don't have that much patience.
Like, you gotta have appreciation for the art, bro.
If you're still making beats, though, you're still heavy into it, man. I ain't made a beat in years, though. I wish I could kind of get back into it, man. Used to be some cool late-night little, you know what I mean? Late-night little shit.
I'm about to get into it. I'm about to start rapping. I'm just dissing niggas. Like, I ain't gonna have nothing positive on my album.
I ain't said nothing positive on my album.
That's dumb, man. I'm gonna listen to
boys,
this shit,
wow. All right. Well, man, let me get off. I'm gonna listen to y'all boys on the computer, man. Let me get off.
Oh, no doubt, man. I appreciate you calling up and hanging out with us, too, man. No doubt, man. I appreciate that. And shout out to the Queen Yanifa. I think I got it right this time. I've been doing good lately with that. You know, making sure I enunciate properly. And we're not really talking about shit. We got like a half an hour. And I'm not sure where the fam, man. I didn't even go through the process of texting nobody, though. So I guess you could put that on me, kind of slightly. Eh, anyway, but don't forget to check out, we got several shows on you know, Down with the Family now. Hold on. Let me make sure I get this one right. But Love, Logic, and Communication, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Opinions and Assholes, every Saturday at 6 p.m. And both of those on blogtalkradio.com/myskinismysin. We got Self-Love is My Rehab every Sunday at 7 p.m. And damn, we just added Andrea Howard to the family. And I'm trying to make sure I get the name of the show correctly. I just found out yesterday. It's pretty dope, though. She got a dope show, too. Y'all got to check her out. Damn. All right, give me one more second. I just found out the name yesterday, so I don't want to butcher it. And I'm just trying to, what is that? Not So Pretty Thoughts. That's a dope ass name, by the way, too.
Yeah, that's a dope.
Anyway, name. Yeah. So check out the family, and don't forget to check out Camp Cleveland. And he ain't been able to call up. He's still over at the motherland in Africa, you know, riding this thing out over there. And he's got to go to, like a cafe to be able to use the Wi-Fi. Well, now they can no longer go to the cafe. You know, so my prayers out to that brother right there. Stay safe if you ever hear this. You know, he'll still be on the book. But I want to make sure that we show him some love. We usually do at some point during the show. I just don't have the audio because of what I just said. But when this is all over and you want to take a trip to Africa, please hit up Camp Cleveland at 216-526-5241. Or you can go to www.campcleveland.org. And you can see the prices and all that on the screen. And that's very dope. Damn, it was something I wanted to say and I just completely forgot. I think I was going to hate on somebody. Must have been. I wouldn't forget no good shit. I was gonna hate on somebody, and I guess that was God's way of saying, "Nah, bro, don't say that. Calm it down." And I was talking about how funny Trump has been. I'm not gonna lie, extremely stupid and fucking us all over. Yes, I am in agreement with that. But he has been pretty funny too. Like when old girl, I don't know who she was, but she was saying that she was sick and she had a fever, and he instantly dipped on her. That was hilarious. Like, I cannot lie about that. Oh, and when they was like, "Sir, didn't you think it's racist that you keep saying China?" I said, "No, it's from China." China.
That nigga's an idiot.
He is, bro. He is. I'm not disputing that by any stretch of the imagination. He is extremely an idiot. Although there have been some pretty idiotically stupid moments that were kind of funny. That I don't think that he was trying to be funny, but were funny nonetheless. You know, but yeah, he is like really. Damn, what's the point of wearing gloves if you're gonna touch all your stuff with them? Well, the point of wearing gloves if you're going to touch all the stuff with them, in my humble opinion, is one of a selfish nature, but you are only concerned about protecting yourself. You're not worried about whether those gloves actually catch the virus and you still spread it to somebody. You're only concerned with you yourself not catching the virus. That would be my explanation for that. Anything? You got anything? You good?
No, I'm good, bro.
Yeah, we were supposed to have several other people call up, so I didn't really even think about shit to talk about on the show, bro. I'm going to be honest with you. No, but it was very dope, man, having Fred call up, bro. It really was.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. And, big shout out to Fred, man. Subscribe to Barbershop Conversations on YouTube.
And you was in your bag, too, bro.
Oh,
boxing shit, nigga.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right up your alley right there, bro. So kudos to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro.
And are you good with getting $1,200?
I'll take it. Shit. That's honestly how I feel. I'll take it.
I'll take the $1,200. Well, I don't think you have a choice. Now that I know that it's really just front money, I feel some type
right.
of way. It's like, I don't know how this is going to affect, you know, my taxes next year. And then what if he loses the election? It's another president. They change shit. It fucks us over even worse. You know, like, and apparently you can't say no to the money, you know, unless you just never get it. And quite honestly, I probably will never see my shit. So I'm not going to worry about it all that much. You know, if it comes, it'll be dope to pay something off. So we don't have to worry about that. You know, but if it doesn't, you know, I don't know. I'm just fearful to see how shit's going to be 6 months down the road.
Right.
You know, I think we'll definitely next year we back to normal, quote unquote. And I Karim Dub, she had a dip, but before she did, she was saying she think more people will be humble, and finally, people appreciate food workers and grocery store workers. And I think in the short term, it'll kind of be like when your team wins the championship. They get a parade, they get love, but then the next season they lose the first three games. Niggas is booing them. It's the same shit. I think that we're going to celebrate the quote unquote frontline workers, everybody, from garbage men to doctors, but and everybody in between. But I think that that'll be short-lived. You know, people at some point are still going to be in line at Walmart, pissed off at the cashier in a couple of years. It would be dope if it did change us, though. You know, that would be, if you want to look for like a silver lining, that would be more than a silver lining. If it just humbled humanity, and then just looking at the pictures of how like L.A. was full of smog before, now it, blue skies and, you know, China, and it ain't just pictures, you know, it's satellite images, China, most polluted area, you know, now this shit looking beautiful. That's not a bad thing either. So maybe we'll, you know, it'll teach us to appreciate that, to want to see a blue sky. I need to know, does anybody think Calico is as fire as he thinks he is?
Hey, man, listen. Cal got his moments, man.
I'm saying, though, it ain't too many rappers, battle rappers, that got a better resume than Cal.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. Like, there's a lot of niggas got super resumes now. Ain't like it used to be.
No, it's about 10 niggas that's probably got a better resume than him or as equal to. It ain't that many, bro. And we talking about names. We talking about years putting in work, you know, resume, the whole thing, bro. Like, if anything, man, Cal probably the most underrated nigga, especially the most underrated vet. And he made your mans look bad.
Who's that?
Tay-Rock.
Tay-Rock ain't my mans, bro. Like, that's first of all.
Oh, he was claiming them before all the super weird shit.
No.
Yeah, that was AJ, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's probably AJ.
Yeah, I think it is. I can't remember, but I think AJ just had, that was his guy. Like, that was, but he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of people like Tay Rock. And then, what the hell did he do that just turned the whole rap world against him? I forgot. When he had fake jewelry and got robbed, was that it? Allegedly. Okay, maybe not. You know, we can really stick it to our customers, you know, the people who give us a reason to exist. Let's set up 5G towers that will emit enough harmful radiation to cause all type of horrible health issues for them, maybe even sudden death. What do you think about the 5G towers?
I'm still looking into it, but I'm starting to pay some attention.
I think that there's some validity to what people are saying, and I haven't researched it, so, you know, let me put that out there. But I think there's probably some validity, because if you live near, like, an electrical plant, the odds of you getting certain diseases increase, or if you live near, you know, a waste plant, you know. So I can kind of see where there's probably some health concerns related to these motherfuckers, and... Like, what they do is they'll have, like, their team come up with how many people they think they're going to kill, how much money they can pay out to shut those people up or deal with it and keep going. And they put that into their budget. So they already planned on niggas suing them for shit going haywire.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if it is as bad as people making it out to be, I'm surprised that they are still standing. If it's like a gazillion towers, like everybody making it to be, and all of our faces is about to fall off, they still standing. I ain't seen nobody do nothing to them. Not to say that I think that everybody would do something, but there would be somebody to be like, nah, bro, not here. Wow, this Jay Bird is nuts, man. He said he's watching Players Club for the first time. That's so disrespectful. That's just disrespectful, man. Anyway, we about to wrap it up, bro. Go ahead and get your shout outs up. And don't forget, man. Go ahead, bro. Get your shout outs.
Yeah, man. Shout out Key Development. Shout out Three Inner Gangsters. Shout out Fred. Follow Fred at Barbershop Conversations on YouTube. Follow me on IG, SDrivingForPerfection_43. And check us out tomorrow. We got the water cooler popping. We'll have some dope shit for y'all tomorrow, man. Holla at us.
No doubt. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Facebook and YouTube channel. Don't forget to check out the Family Liberation Mind Media.com. That is Black Eye Stand Radio, Psychopathias, the Rundown with Renee, and My Skin is My Sin, Opinions and Assholes, Self Love is My Rehab, Love, Logic, and Communication, Camp Cleveland, and hold on, so I can make sure I got it right. And Not So Pretty Thoughts. Make sure I get that right. Anyway, other than that, we will be back tomorrow at 9 p.m. right here. And please go to the YouTube channel and subscribe and like to it. And hit the notification button or bell or whatever the hell you want to call it. All right, man, we out of here. And y'all have a good one. Peace.
Peace.
Oh, and shout out to Fred. That's pretty dope. And y'all stay safe out there. And remember, they cannot steal your energy.
Wash your hands.
Please. And 6 feet. Stay 6 feet away. Stay in the fucking house.